Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Natural Fertility with Dr. Jane. Of course, I'm Dr. Jane, and today I'm joined by Dr. Nicole, one of the practitioners on my team. Hi, Nicole, what are we going to talk about today?
Hi, super excited to be here. I love doing these podcasts and how regularly we've been doing them. For today, I do feel like it is just such perfect timing to really talk about navigating the holidays and in a couple different areas. It's a theme that has come up quite a bit for me with clients, just asking for some support and some coaching around how to handle the dietary aspect of what they're trying to work on versus what their family and friends are used to doing, navigating the conversations of, not necessarily wanting people to know that they are making certain choices because of a fertility journey. And so just how to be a little bit more discreet, and then also how to handle some of the questions and emotions that come up. So a
With
lot
the
of different.
pregnancy announcements and the when are you going to have kids? And there's a lot of emotional triggers around this time. And I actually have been already handling some of that with my patients as well. And it's funny, I forgot to think about the dietary aspect, but that is a huge component wherein you haven't seen some of your family members maybe for 3 months or some friends, and all of a sudden, maybe even longer than 3 months, and you're like this completely different person doing things and learning things, and it could be very difficult navigating that and all the questions that people and even some of the judgments that people might place on you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the pressure, right? Sometimes they pressure of like, oh, one thing's not going to hurt you. And so I joke with my clients, but I'm like, a little bit of poison is still poison. So just,
Yes.
keep that in mind when you're making your decisions.
And we talked about that last time. It was like, be difficult. I want you to be difficult, but also realizing that I always say, I want my clients to have food freedom. I want you to have exercise freedom. And what that means is like, the choices that you make is because you want to make those choices versus someone is telling you to make those choices. And whether that's internal or external pressures, because sometimes the internal cravings that you get are so strong and it's really hard for you to override them. And that's actually more of usually an imbalance, and whether that's a parasite or a candida or yeast. And one of my clients, she's like, something that you said was really helpful because we've been working on like chronic candida yeast overgrowth, where she's like, is it the bugs or is it you that's craving this food? And she just had this switch of like, oh my God, it's not me, it's the bugs, because it feels so out of my body and it feels like I just can't control it. Like I have to have it. And as soon as she made that realization, it's almost like that processed sugar didn't look as good, and she didn't need it as much. And obviously everything else that we were doing is helping, but I do think that that's, you want to have a good time and you want to relax, but and enjoy the precious time that the holidays can and should be, but you also don't want to do things just because of peer pressure. You know, it's like whatever party I go to, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm just not drinking. It's like that's not a thing that brings me joy in any way, shape, or form. But I know that that is a thing for some people, and it's difficult for them to say no. So.
Absolutely. I think you touched upon an important, there's a couple things there. For one, I know we had someone in the group coaching who had said to you recently that her and her husband aren't fighting as much now that like some of the bugs have been cleared out, and it's like it was the bugs, it wasn't us. And so it gave me a good laugh to kind of see that and listen to that, but it's very much true. The other thing that you said that I want to touch upon is the slowing down. And I think that's a very important aspect of the holidays. Even so much as like right before this recording, I was talking to a client of mine who's just having a hard time, and she is spread so thin and gives so much of herself to all these different aspects and careers. And, she's working and she's teaching and she's doing all of these things. And it's like, this is a great time where the weather is colder and the days are darker earlier. And it's like a season of just hibernating. And we've created this Hallmark culture that's just go, go, go around the holidays. And we have to visit every family member and we need to buy gifts and we need to do this. And everyone has to wear their matching outfits. And it's like, no, use this time to just hibernate, especially if you're trying to conceive, like hibernate a little bit. And then also, valuing your emotions. Another client
This is
yesterday.
where a lot of animals do conceive. We have a buck in our yard right now, looking around for the females, and they never come except in the winter. And then, sure enough, we have the little baby deers that come in the spring, usually June, May and June. And I'm like, yeah, there's a whole point of like the hibernation and the restoration because
Nesting.
it, the babies that are born in the spring, usually, right, they're coming from the early winter
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
fall in the human case.
Absolutely. And it's also okay to withdraw a little bit. A client I spoke with yesterday, she's in this place where her and a sibling have both been trying to conceive. They both have had quite a journey, and her sibling, just had a positive test. And it's like she's in this place of having, absolute joy and hoping that this works out for her sibling and wanting to be an aunt. But at the same time, like there is that little bit of like a sadness and a heartbreak that shows up. And, we had a really good conversation around like your sister, considering she had this journey, will probably understand if you need to find this balance between supporting her and also withdrawing to protect your peace during this time, because, you want to be there, you want to be excited, you want to show up, but you also need to allow yourself to feel and to be able to heal. It's also a great time to like take a break from social media, because there's just everybody's throwing their, here's our picture perfect matching pajama happy story. And it's like just feeding yourself that all day long, can be a bit difficult this time of year.
Yeah, I had I think it was last week or the week before that, one of my couples that I think as you're going through this journey, it is incredibly lonely. I genuinely think it's not just the fertility journey that can be lonely, but the journey of like improving yourself and growing. And it's, I think about how many things that I do that most people won't do. And I used to have a complex of not fitting in and wanting to fit in, and then making sure that it's like keeping up with the Joneses or whatever you want to call it, where you're just constantly comparing yourself as opposed to stepping back and being okay with the emotion of the loneliness and the sadness, and actually giving space to process it, sit with it, get to know it, and see what comes out on the other side, as opposed to trying to suppress it or pretend that that emotion isn't there. But one of my couples a couple of weeks ago, they were like, we have this neighbor and she's 100 pounds overweight and she eats like crap. And then, they're like, oh, we got pregnant. And here we are basically doing everything that we can. And we're, it's been 3 years or it's been 5 years and we're so exhausted and we're still not pregnant. How do you navigate that? And my advice to them was like, well, first of all, comparison is a thief of joy. And second of all, it's like, well, do you really want to be in that situation? Like, would you really trade places with this person? And knowing what I know about, pregnancy and postpartum and the generational impact of fertility, it's most of our, correct me if I'm wrong, but like most of my patients have had really unhealthy parents, have had some really big things that have come up, and now they don't have the mitochondrial function that they need to. And they had a lot of disconnects with their body because the mom had or the dad had a lot of disconnects. And so, like, they never learned how to actually take care of themselves. And so they didn't. And then there was big environmental exposures. And so when I see someone who is quote unquote unhealthy, it's like, I'm not sure what is in their karma and what they're supposed to learn from their experiences. But I do know that there is an impact, and that impact is quite great. And whether that's the child has neurological developments, metabolic disease, cardiovascular disease, like you name it, it's hard not to compare yourself and also believe and trust that the work that you're doing is actually adding up to things, something bigger.
And in some cases, it's like you never know how close around the corner it really is. And that goes with anything. I mean, personal story, I remember having like the holiday season with family, and my sister had her first child and then she had her second child. And at this point, like I didn't have my spouse and it was just me, and it was like bad relationship after bad relationship. And I remember sitting with my family one day and being like, you know what? I'm coming to peace with the fact that I am just the fun aunt that travels the world, that goes on mission trips to Haiti, does all the crazy things, and that I will never get to be married or have kids. And like, I need to be okay with that. And then, not even a month later, my husband and I start dating. And then a few months after that, I'm pregnant. And so it's like, But had you told me that just a handful of months prior, like I would have laughed at you and been like, there's no chance, you
Yeah.
know? And there
It's
was,
pretty dramatic too. You're like, I'm gonna die alone. I'm never gonna. It's like, why did you go to that depth?
I don't know, but I did sit in that. And I mean, that was a very hard season for me, even so much as like somebody hacked my bank accounts and they had taken everything. And then what's the most wild piece of this story, and you know, whether you're faith is in the universe or God or you know wherever it is, if it's in something greater than yourself, this is kind of my testimony. But right before I found out I was pregnant, I was going to close that bank account because everything had been taken. The bank basically told me to kick rocks. They're like, keep putting you know money in it because otherwise we have to close the account. If we close it, we can't investigate it. And it's like I'm putting money in there and I'm just seeing the money come out. International transaction fees over and over. I'm like, how are they not seeing that this is not me? And so I go to the bank, and this manager there was like, let's just try one last time before you close it. And so he pushed it through. The next day, all of the money that was added up and taken over that span of time was returned to me. 2 days after that, I found out I was pregnant. And so it's almost like I like to look at it as like God took this money away from me because he knew that I was in a place of like being single and I was probably going to spend it. And I wasn't, you know, I was depressed because I was thinking I would never find my partner and I would never have my child. And so it was like he took this away and then was like, you know, she doesn't know these things are going to happen. And she's been working so hard and it's right around the corner for her. And then boom, he gave it back. And it's like, you know, and I use that story when I talk to some of my clients about this time of year because it's like, I know that it's hard. I know that it's so difficult, and I know that feeling. Like I can feel what you're feeling of that like ache, right? That longing that there's something missing, but at the same time, like you are doing the work. You are progressing forward even if it doesn't feel like it. You're sitting across from us and you're listening to this podcast and you're taking advice and you're trying the things and all of that is propelling you forward. And you just don't know how much until you do get that positive and you do get that pregnancy and you do get that child. And then you look back and you're like, oh yeah, now I can see the progress I was making.
For sure. Yeah, it's really hard to look at. It's always hindsight 2020. And I've had a couple of patients in case studies that came on and shared their story. And it's like that meme where it's the cave and you're digging in the cave and you don't know when the exit is. And like you might be just like a couple more pushes away, but sometimes it's, you know, you're like, I felt like I was a couple more pushes away and then I wasn't. And then I felt like I was. So I really do like to take this lens of like fertility is your healing journey. Your fertility journey is your healing journey. What is it connecting to the energy of whether it's the universe, God, or even just to your baby? You know, do you feel your baby? And one of my clients and I, she was in the Fertility 101 group, Marie, who had, you know, 8 years of infertility. And one of the things she shared on the podcast that I don't remember talking to her about it within the group, but she's like, I wrote to my baby every day. I just started to write to my baby. And she used that as a way to connect to that energy. To connect to herself, to ask the questions of like, who am I becoming? Who do I need to become? What do I need to do in order to be able to bring you into this world? You know, like I really want to meet you. And for her, that was putting trust in us and listening to the protocols and listening to the process and going through the difficult emotions and not hiding from them and actually just creating space and feeling them. That was a big game changer for her.
I think one of the things you touched upon there with the meme in the cave, right, is, you know, that ability to persevere and be resilient when you think that you're at the end of it and that there might not be any hope left. That is the point to really keep pushing forward, even so much as like when you're giving birth, and especially if you're having like an unmedicated birth. You will hit a point in your labor where you're like, I cannot do this. I need help. I need to be transferred. I want to quit. I am exhausted. And when you hit that very low point, and any birth provider, any doula, anyone can tell you, but when you hit that point, that is the sure sign that that baby is about to come out. And you just got to get through that. And so if you can start working through and I like the word perseverance, but if you can start working through that and teaching yourself how to do that now, it's going to make it easier on the other end, not just with a birth, but even with parenting. Like There are so many days in parenting where you're like, I quit. This is hard. It's not what I signed up for. And it's like, you just have to learn to push through that because everything is on the other side of it.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up because I think the like my first birth was not that experience. Like I knew I needed help, but then the help that I got basically took me out of the equation. And so I think that there was a huge of like a lack of disconnection with my daughter because of that, and then the postpartum depression because of the lack of the connection. And there was a lot of things that led up to it, but I didn't feel like I did it. Like I just felt because I was pushing, and then I had to go to the hospital. And then as soon as the epidural was in, like I just couldn't feel anything. And they had to use forceps, and it's like I could feel the forceps and go, oh, this is how I need to push. But it still didn't feel like this experience of like I did it. It's that my body couldn't do it and it needed help, but I didn't, that wasn't the time to figure out because obviously it was a critical component. Whereas in the second birth, I was very much like almost asking my midwife for assurance, like, am I doing it? Can I do it? And there is this piece where you're like, I don't think that I can, and this is too painful, or this is too, it like it breaks you. And then on the other side, and I think about that in the fertility journey where it does, it kind of chips at you, and I don't know. That's one of the things that I said to the couple as well. It's like, I don't know why some people have such a hard time. Like I don't. And I cried on a call, yesterday talking about one of the cases and how it's like, you just want to help these people figure it out. And I do think that there is us where we come in and we do the physical component and even help you understand the mental and emotional pieces. But then there is like the spiritual component of like, what do you need to learn from this? And where are you, what are you avoiding? Or maybe what are you, the expectations that you're putting on, or, and that's where it's hard for us to know what it is because it is your own unique personal journey with, this baby that you're trying to bring in. And I always, when I feel stuck, the question that I ask myself is like, hey, what am I not seeing? What do I need to see? And then I'll use things like homeopathics or even low dose psilocybin, like microdosing and things like that to just help open up my consciousness because I know that I'm just not seeing something. I'm stuck. And so if I can open that up and see things differently, all of a sudden, everything shifts.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a component of like, I'm fully prepared for lots of emotions this time of year from clients and to know
Yes.
that it's completely okay. And like, I am here for it. I need you to let it out and let that energy move. And if this is a container where you feel safe to do that, then this is where I need you to do it. And then that being said too, I mean, you had said something about like identifying who you need to become. And the call that I had before this, like we had a really good conversation about just how busy she is. And so, like I was saying earlier, she spreads herself so thin. And then she tells me, like, yeah, I started working when I was 12 years old. And so then it was like, I was working and I was doing dance and I was coaching and I was doing this. And there was 100 different things. And I'm like, your nervous system doesn't know how to slow down for one. But then, two, what is the story that you developed at age 12 that you have stuck to and have carried all the way through? Like, what is it that you're telling yourself that you have to be busy? Is it, and like some examples, these weren't hers, but just examples I gave her is like, is it that, you're not worthy if you're not working and showing up financially? Or is it that if you slow down, you're lazy? Like, what is that underlying message? But then also, like, with her being so busy and so stressed, her ability for her body to say, like, okay, it is safe for us to have this baby. It's not going to be there because it doesn't know how to slow down. And it's, I'm like, at what point do you think you'd be able to? And she's like, well, I've always said, when I have the child, I won't teach as much and I'll do this. And I'm like, okay, well, that's what you need to do right now. You need to
Yes,
start
do
creating
that
that.
now.
Yeah. And start teaching yourself that, like, oh, we have space for a child in our life and in our home and, in the body. And so it's like, again, like this is a great time of year to start playing with that of how do we, especially as it comes to the end of the year, it's like, okay, let's start cleaning things up and make room for that new year. And maybe part of that is just cleaning up your nervous system and the space that you have in your life to welcome a child in.
Yeah, and if I can bring some like physiology into this, because what happens at 12 years old, and depending on when she got her period, but woman's brain starts to go into puberty about 2 years before she goes into having a menstrual cycle. And there's a really big shift in the brain, obviously, during the the first menarche in those puberty years, a lot of growth. And then obviously through pregnancy and postpartum and then menopause, those are some of those kind of hallmark changes. And so in the puberty, what happens is you start to separate from the mom, meaning that your brain starts to grow and develop, and you're starting to think about, who am I in this world? What do I want to bring forward and carry forward into my teenage years, into my adulthood? Like, who am I shaping up to be? And what are the things I'm going to leave behind? And so at 12 years old, you don't have a lot of consciousness. Like, it just kind of happens, because obviously, like, when I think about it, we just think of teenagers as being crazy and the choices that you make, versus in postpartum depression. And this is all the stuff, of course, that I'm learning from Dr. Leah in her gynecology course. But in menopause, that's the one where women can resonate the most with, where they start to have old traumas and old things come up. They're like, I haven't thought about this in decades. Why is this coming up now? And a lot of the times, they just don't feel like themselves anymore, because their brain, their bodies are changing so much that they have to adapt to this new version of themselves. And the question becomes is, what are you bringing forward, and what do you need to process, versus what are you going to bury back deep in the brain again and, quote unquote, not think about it. And so I think that happens at puberty. Like, I know that happens at puberty as well. So then my question to that patient is always like, what was going on around that time, and what is your mother like? And because typically you're going to be way more connected to the mom. Of course, the dad is still plays a huge role depending on what's going on there. But a lot of the times that connection between the mom and the daughter changes and shifts, because the daughter now has to decide, and she's either going to take qualities and be like, I want to be like my mom, or I don't want to be like my mom. And there is a component, it's not so black and white. There's a lot of gray area, obviously, there. But I think about that, because then it's, why did you decide? Yes, your worth is determined by the amount that you work. And if I sit and I rest, that means I'm lazy, I'm not contributing. And again, it's coming down to, I'm not worthy. But that could also happen with, if I don't have children, I'm worthy and I'm not, fulfilling my role. And so it's such a difficult thing to go through as a woman. And we see it on the, methylation and nutrient. And it's like, oh my God, the brain is really struggling and there's a lot of mold. And so if I can pull that mold out and bring this up, all of a sudden your thought process change and you can actually process some of these traumas. And you understanding your parents deeper just helps you understand, like, ah, that's why I am the way that I am.
I've really been enjoying. There was a book you had brought to my attention called It Didn't Start With You. And I've ended up sharing it with a few clients where I'm like, you need to read this book because there's so much here that really is going to help you just kind of see that relationship differently. And there is, like you said, there's some clients where, I have one who told me she didn't feel very connected with her mom because the birth was pretty traumatic. And then she always felt like her mom was closer with her siblings than with her. And then she moved away from her friend group and she's living where she's a little more isolated. And so then when her and her husband aren't on the same page, she feels that like loneliness again or that lack of connection. And so it's like she wants a child so bad because she's craving that connection. And I think that book is like a fantastic resource for her to kind of dive into and foster the understanding of, what her mom went through and kind of how that plays into the experience that she has and the emotions that she's working through and then where that shows up in her fertility journey.
Yeah, it's huge. Okay, well, let's talk. This is like,
I
there's a lot
know.
of conversation here, but let's talk about, like, how do you actually navigate someone asking I think the positive pregnancy test, we acknowledge that, where it's like you have to know when to draw the space, because the truth is, a lot of the times you're really excited and ecstatic for the other person, but it's a little too close to home. And so being able to set those boundaries, blocking social media, explaining to the family or the friend what you need, instead of just, again, overriding that, like, oh, I'll just show up and I'll just be happy for her because that's what I should be, as opposed to creating the space for the grief that you are feeling. I think that's really important. What about, handling the Christmas parties, being asked the questions of, when are you having children, even though you've been trying to conceive? Or then we can go into, like, the food component and how to handle.
That the question is so hard. And so there's a couple different ways to go about it, depending on personality type as well. Like I always tell couples to really lean into each other and to recognize like if a conversation's headed in that direction for the other partner to kind of intervene or have some kind of, maybe there's a code wiggle your ear, whatever the case may be, of like, hey, I need saving from this conversation, get me out. Or some like
Tricky
tofu.
word.
Hey,
Make
you
it
want to go
something
get
really funny. Have fun with it. Corn.
corn? Yeah, corn. You know, or you know, whatever it is, like eggnog. Like we need to go look at it. But there is that component of like, you know, save each other before it gets there. But then there's also the piece of like when you are cornered and that question comes up, how do you handle it? And I always say like,
Say
yeah, emergency.
just yell it out.
My tools in the box are like be as neutral as possible or answer a question with a question. Like that's such a great and easy way to
When
deflect.
are you having children?
But it's really having children. But no, it's a great way. So like some examples would be, you know, if somebody asked me that question, like, oh, are you guys trying? Or, you know, when are you having kids? It's one of those where like, oh yeah, the conversation's open. And then just kind of going into another question. And so it's like, oh, they're talking about it. And it doesn't necessarily say like, hey, we've been trying or, you know, we've been struggling or no, we don't know if we want to have kids, where it's like that, you know, it doesn't feel good to say something that's not true. And so it just says like, yeah, the conversation's open between us. And then, you know, how's little Sammy doing? Is Sammy doing great? Awesome. And moving on from it. And I think that just kind of like neutralizes, but at least you addressed it. So then there's not the side secret conversations going on with family members of like, so what do you think they're doing? Especially too, like when you are in the trying to conceive. And I think one of the hard things is like, you're not drinking alcohol because you know that it can have an effect on your fertility journey. And then you're being specific about what you eat. Suddenly everyone's like, I think they're pregnant. And that part can be hard
You're like,
too.
no, just want
Yeah. And, you know, and that's what I'll say to people sometimes is like, blame it on your labs. Like, just say, you know, if you don't want to come out and say, I'm trying to conceive, you can just say, like, I'm working with someone on bettering my health. And like, my lab showed me that I really can't, shouldn't be having alcohol right now. So I'm just not drinking. And it's
healthy.
like, oh, people get that. Or like, oh, my cholesterol levels were high. So, you know, I'm just being really
And
particular.
hopefully that'll actually make people want to go get labs done too. We just
Yeah.
had labs done yesterday, and I know her because she does all the private kits in this area. So she comes up a couple times a year to our house, and I was like, I think people would be so much healthier if they just ran labs on a regular basis, because you would just see, oh, my cholesterol is elevated, or my blood sugar is dysregulated, and I have, you know. A good friend, she sent me her labs and she's like, I don't believe that my HbA1c is at this point. And I'm like, I do. You're in menopause. You're still eating the way that you're thinking that you should be eating. And, you know, a good friend from my CrossFit days. And I'm like, that's totally like that happens all the time. And unless you see the labs, you're not going to make that change. So hopefully people will go, oh, yeah, maybe I should run labs as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And you never know either, like the depth of the seed that you're planting. Like they may not come
Yes.
and say it to you, but then they leave and it's like, oh, you know, so and so is doing this. Maybe I should consider doing that too. And then the other piece is like, I have a client who was sitting with friends and her friends have a child and they went the IVF route. And so they were pushing her, like, you should just do IVF. Like, why aren't you doing IVF? And for them, it's like they just want to do things differently. And it's like in that point, you really need to anchor into your why and your understanding of the human body. And it's like you are on this journey because you want that healthier baseline, not just for you, but for that baby. And so, you know, I'm always really glad that IVF worked for her friends and that they were able to have their child. But also, if she is to get to a point where she needs to do IVF and we need to have that conversation, like her baseline and her postpartum health is going to be so much more robust. And so it's like, you know, whatever direction it ends up going, she's taking a very, very important step right now versus just leaping into something and becoming depleted and then some haywire with her health later on.
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting some heat with some of the posts around, like, and I'm just reacting to the post. So I'm not making the, and some of them I am, but where it's like, oh, there's studies showing how IVF, children born with through IVF have a higher rate of neurological and metabolic diseases and cancers and this. And it's like, we don't say this to create triggers and make people feel bad because we support couples going through ART all the time. But we also need to like know the reality of what we're doing. And there's so many people who are jumping into IVF thinking that it is a guaranteed solution or doing multiple rounds and then like just creating such chaos in their body and such distance in their body. And they're still not anywhere closer to having a baby. And now they spend over 100K and now they have all these health issues. And so it is important to bring those things up. What I was going to say to the party scenario, I am a fan of just yelling a safety word because I think it's funny. You got to bring humor to the party. But I also would ask you to, like, is this what you want to do? Because for those, and I used to be that person where I felt deeply like I need to, like the FOMO, I need to fit in. And so I want to make sure that I show up to the big events. And now I'm like, where are we going? Why would we go there? Who's going to be there? Like, Nate Bargatze does a really great fit about that. When you're 20, you're like, I don't care, I'm going. And 30, you're like, where are we going? I'll drive myself. Yeah. And 40, you're like, I'm not going. I'm offended you even asked me to come, you know? And so, like, we do get stuck in those 20s, though, of like, I need to keep showing up. I need to, oh, but like, people are expecting me to be there. And part of, you know, when you become a parent is you have to say no to those things because you have a baby and you're on a baby schedule. And so maybe you have to start coming to that schedule now, a sense of like, do you actually want to be going to some of these events that you are going to? How many of them are actually mandatory, aka they're big family events? And then I do a lot of prep work for those kinds of events because, you know, like, energetically it's draining. You are going to get asked questions and you are going to have to put on a face or yell an emergency word or feel really heavy after those things. And so to me, it's like, I don't want to go to events that drain me. I want to go to events that bring me up, but that might not be your family events. Like, the more that I work with couples, they're like, God, these events like really drain me. And I'm like, yeah. So maybe we don't have as many because that's how you're setting the boundary. It's because, yes, you want to meet and see your family and create the memories and blah, blah, blah. And most of the time, I think people really mean well. They do when they're asking, they just want to try to connect. You know, they just want to know, like, what's up in your life? Are you going to have kids? And they don't know what other questions to ask. So they're not doing it out of spite. But it is still management for you, you know? So just being aware of, like, do I actually want to go to these events? Do I need to go to these events? And then preparing for them mentally and emotionally and physically, like, my people are taking protein powders before they go to an event. So then they're making better choices when they are at the event.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, that's, you know, the component of community who is similar to you or in a similar journey as you is important as well. So then when you do have to show up or you decide, like, you know, this is my family I haven't seen in a long time, I do want to see them, I know it's going to be hard, but then you can go and plug into that community that also fuels you on fire and helps, you know, recharge that battery reserve that you have and helps you with the resilience of getting through those events versus just trying to go at it alone. And, you know, alone as in it could just be you, or alone as in you and your spouse alone.
Yep. For sure. Yeah. I take the opportunity because it's like, we'll still go to, like, you know, some family events. And it's like, I've been really good at training my sister in terms of what to eat and how to eat and where to get. And I'm always sharing where I'm getting my stuff. So then they can do that as well. But with my in-laws, for example, that I don't see that often, we'll, like, plant seeds here and there, but I'll actually just bring food when I'm like, let's make dinner and let me bring all these ingredients that I got from the farmer's market and let me show you side by side the difference and how good it could be. And so I think about sharing the knowledge about versus like being judged for the knowledge. And there's people who are going to judge you anyways, but you just get better at, like, oh yeah, that's okay. They don't really understand. You know, it's like, my parents don't understand why I spend so much money on supplements or labs or whatever yet, but they're starting to see the difference to be like, oh, what are you doing? Because usually it was wait till you turn 35. And then once you turn 35, then you're not going to be able to, you know, lose this weight. Or once you have your second baby, or once you have, so people don't want to see that there's a different way. They want to fall into the excuse. And family is unfortunately one of the hardest people to convince. And so I say, like, it's okay. They're not going to understand you and there's going to be judgment, but that's the cost of doing something different. The cost is that you're going to get judged, but do you know why you're doing what you're doing? And if you do, then it makes it really easy for you to make that choice because then it doesn't really matter what other people think, you know, but I realize it takes time to get to that place. You have to process the whole FOMO trash usually, which took me a really long time. And still, I still get it obviously at times, just at higher levels, but yeah.
And that being okay with being difficult. You know, I know it was a couple months ago where a client visited friends and she was like, yeah, I just kind of ate things I shouldn't have because I like didn't want to be the difficult one in the group. And it's like, just be the difficult one. Like, you have to protect yourself because you're going to have to do that when the baby's here too, especially if you want that child to eat and live a certain way that's not, common in our environment or in our country. And it's like you're going to have to be difficult. And if you can't be difficult and advocate for yourself, how are you going to show up for that kid? So now's the time, when you don't have the child to start practicing that skill set and develop it.
Yep, for sure. And it's like, how crazy is that that being difficult means eating whole foods or saying no, we're not drinking. At some point, that's a very, like, as a teenage brain, you're really thinking about fitting in and finding your place in the world. But when you're like 30 or even in your 40s, when I'm meeting couples and I'm like, you're still trying to fit in. Do you know what I mean? Like, why is that development? Why did that development not happen? And I think that there's a lot of pieces of cortisol and inflammation and stress and, the dopamine and the being plugged into the phone and not having a lot of personal growth or people around you. But we're kind of propelling that forward, And so people who work with us, they tend to be the leaders within their family of what they're going to do. They want to grow, they want to do things differently. And being a leader is hard. Like you said, you went on a holiday, and it's like, yeah, you have to tell, like, you can't feed this to my child, or I'm not gonna go over here, or I'm not gonna do this, or my sister invites me to stuff all the time, and I'm like, sorry, we're busy, and I like we are because it's like I'd rather stay at home or do something else than go to this party or do these things because it's like I just don't want to expose my kids to that, and I don't want to expose, and I like I'm okay with making that choice, and I feel bad, but I feel bad and I do it anyways. Because I know it's the better thing. Anything else we want to leave people off with for the Christmas holidays?
Have fun. Enjoy the holidays. We gotta end on a positive note here because it's a heavy
But on
conversation.
it, genuinely, have fun. Like, know that people are not out to get you and make the choices that you want to make. Like, if you want to eat the thing, then eat the thing. But if you don't want to eat the thing, then don't eat the thing or drink the thing or whatever, or even go to the party. It's like, I'll give you permission to say no.
Exactly. And it's a season, and usually it's an event that's just a few hours. So you will make it through and you will get on the other side, and things will feel nice and calm and positive again.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Nicole. Always a pleasure to connect. And
Thank
we'll
you.
see you again in a month or so. We'll see you sooner than that, but on the
Yes, sounds great.
podcast. Thanks, guys, for being here. We appreciate you.